This is Mishmash, a weekly conversation where we try to unjumble an important and sometimes under-the-radar statewide story that affects you. I'm Shayna Roth. A pair of bills in the state legislature would let public and private sector union members have certain political campaign contributions automatically deducted from their paychecks. This would make it a lot easier for union members to make donations. And as Stella Yu points out in her piece for Bridge Michigan, union members tend to donate to Democrats. Stella is here with me to break it all down. Stella, welcome back to Mishmash.
Good to be back.
You point out in your piece that Democrats have been saying since the election, and honestly since long before that, that they want to reform the state's campaign finance rules. But these bills that would probably benefit them are the first campaign finance bills they've introduced instead of reform bills. What's going on here?
Michigan Democrats, and honestly some Republicans, have long been touting ethics reform, right? Campaign finance, financial disclosure, what have you. And this really dates back to, I guess, 2018, 2019, when Gretchen Whitmer, on her campaign trail, vowed to open up her office to public records requests, right? And we're still one of the only two states without that. So similarly, we have seen bipartisan efforts to push for ethics reforms, you know, more transparency in the state legislature as well, but that also hasn't gone anywhere. So this year, when the Democrats took control of the majority in the state legislature, really the first time in 40 years, they had several priorities, right? And they fast-tracked a lot of them, like abortion, gun reform, but they really haven't introduced any ethics reform bills that they promised that they would at the beginning of the year. So Senator Jeremy Moss, a Democrat from Southfield, has been pushing for ethics reforms for a while now. And he told us recently that we were probably going to see some of the Democrats-backed ethics bills in a few months. This is largely because they have to, under the requirement of a voter initiative in November, also known as Prop 1, right, which really amended the term limit rules for lawmakers and required more financial disclosure from some of the statewide elected officials as well as state lawmakers. We have not seen that yet, although advocates are saying they're coming.
So why are the unions and Democrats arguing in favor of these bills?
Because unions and Democrats are arguing this would simply right the wrongs by, you know, reversing Republican era restrictions on unions. So back in 2012 and 2015, the Republicans passed a series of restrictions banning unions from collecting political contributions via payroll deductions. And the argument behind that was you cannot use public resources for public sector unions to collect their contributions to benefit themselves. And so the unions are arguing this simply levels the playing field. Corporations are allowed to collect PAC contributions from employees via a payroll deduction programs. And if corporations can, unions feel like they should also be able to do that via a similar program.
As you pointed out, there are quite a few deductions that people can already take out of their paychecks, be it for Social Security or even charitable donations is something that you can arrange to do through your paycheck. So what are Republicans saying in regards to these bills? Why are they against them?
The reaction I got from a House Republican spokesperson is that Republicans are against it for the same reason that they passed the restrictions in the first place. They're arguing, especially for public sector unions, it just doesn't feel right for them to utilize public resources to set up payroll deduction programs for unions to benefit themselves. So I asked the spokesperson, I said, this bill specifically requires unions to make up for the costs to an employer or to the state government for any public resources used, like administrative fees or something like that. And they said, no, it's just not acceptable on a principle level.
Democrats, it seems, are really pushing hard to come across as pro-worker. And you pointed out in your piece that it's working. Union donations to Democrats are up. So what else have Democrats been doing that unions and the labor community are happy with?
The biggest thing, obviously, is the repeal of right to work, right? The law was put in place in 2012, signed by a Republican governor, Rick Snyder, and now the Democrats finally have the majority to get it done. We did see major unions stepping up their spending this spring as the repeal of right to work was moving through the pipeline. For example, this spring, we saw $600,000 given to the Democrats already, and some of the major unions have already maxed out, meaning that they have given the maximum amount to both House and Senate Democratic funds in the spring. And that's something that they usually did not do in the past 5 years in the first quarter. So apart from the repeal of right to work, they have also introduced bills to allow teachers' unions to negotiate at a district level to have more say on their classroom assignments, teachers' evaluations, and stuff like that. And this would be a huge success for the Michigan Education Association, which is a big teachers' union. Democrats have also introduced bills to provide tax credits to those who pay union dues, as well as one bill to allow graduate research assistants to be able to unionize.
Let's shift gears and talk about the Michigan Supreme Court. You had two pieces on that branch recently, and let's start with the one about the justices getting raises. It looks like state Supreme Court justices are going to be getting paid a little more, but not some other offices like attorney general and governor. What is the process for these types of offices getting paid more?
So the state has a commission called the State Officers Compensation Commission. It's a 7-member panel, and all members are appointed by the governor, and they serve staggered terms. They meet every 2 years to decide or to deliberate what to recommend to the state legislature. Basically, what they do is that they take a look at the budget, they take a look at the economic forecast, and they deliberate whether to recommend a pay raise or a pay cut, which doesn't happen very often. They vote to make the recommendation, but it still has to be approved by the state legislature. It didn't used to be this way. Up until 2002, the commission vote would automatically go into effect, whether it was a pay raise or a pay cut, unless rejected by the state legislature.
Walk us through what this panel recently decided. How much more are justices going to be getting?
So the Supreme Court justices make about $180,000. The commission recommended that the Supreme Court justices would get a 7% increase for 2025 and another 7% increase in 2026. If the state legislature approved that, that would mean that a Supreme Court justice would make over $200,000 in 2026. But the commission really wanted to give other offices like the Attorney General, the Secretary of State, the Governor, and state lawmakers a big pay raise because they said they were doing so much work and their pay hasn't been raised in 20 years, but they stopped short of recommending that.
What is the argument for paying the justices more? I think a lot of people might argue that, you know, these are prestigious, maybe cushy jobs. They have a pretty good amount of job security. Why should we be paying them more?
So if we compare the Supreme Court justice pay in Michigan to other Midwestern states, we rank near the bottom. We rank 8th out of 12 Midwestern states. And we also lag behind other states nationwide. We rank 34th in all 50 states. Commissioners who advocated for that change also argued that these are public figures. You know, they could get a lot of threats for doing what they do. And, you know, other lower court judges whose pay is actually tied to other state employees. Commissioners have also argued that these are public figures and they are on the highest court, right? They sit on the highest court and they could get a lot of threats for their decisions and what they do. Some have also argued that lower court judges whose pay is tied to state employees could get paid even more than Supreme Court justices if they see another raise while the justices do not.
So the panel that was debating recommending these changes, as we mentioned, also contemplated salary changes for governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, secretary of state, and state lawmakers. The panel, as you mentioned, said, yeah, they probably deserve a raise. They haven't had a pay raise since 2002, and they took a pay cut of 10% in 2010. But eventually they said, no, we're not going to give them one. What happened there?
Yeah, it's really wild to see the deliberation going on. I mean, have you ever had someone pushing so hard to give you a raise, but you're the one turning it down? That's what happened that day. Commissioners really want steeper increase for all of these positions for the same reason, right? That they are doing a really public job. The attorney general is getting paid $112,000 for managing 500 employees. They're doing a lot, but they're not getting paid enough. But the commission chair, Bob Emerson, who has served in the state legislature in the past and also led the state's budget office, said he had already talked to some of the legislative leaders. And because it requires a state legislative approval, the legislature has indicated to him that they're not going to be voting for a raise for themselves because of political concerns. And he said legislative leaders indicated to him they want a raise. They do. But they're not going to vote for one because the minority party, the Republicans, have signaled that they're not going to be terribly cooperative.
It's one of those things where people don't always realize this, but these positions are jobs just like any other. And if you don't make them competitive, you're not going to get the best pool of talent. And I think that what we're seeing here, at least from people like Emerson, is this concern that if you don't pay these offices more, if you don't make them competitive with other positions and make them attractive to people, you're not going to be getting the talent that maybe we want in our state legislature or even our governor's office.
Exactly. He has said that multiple times during the commission. He has said that multiple times during the meeting, and he has said that some state legislators are concerned that with such a pay, which is a little bit over $70,000 for a state lawmaker, that they're going to be losing out on some of the candidates. And he said, and Emerson told me that it is really hard to talk to some of the quote-unquote well-off candidates, some of the well-off Michiganders, and ask them to jump into the race because there is this concern that as a full-time legislator, it is really hard to make a living, or it would be harder to make a living as a full-time legislator if they're only getting paid this much.
Finally, Justice Bernstein is back on the bench after being very open about taking some time for mental health treatment. I absolutely love and appreciate how open Bernstein has been about this process. Mental health treatment is something that has long been stigmatized. Stella, fill us in on what we know.
So in April, Bernstein first announced that he would withdraw from the bench and work remotely while receiving some mental health treatment. He didn't reveal what kind of treatment he was going to receive or what mental health issues he was battling with. And so now he has returned after about a month and missing 6 oral arguments in person. And he revealed he was under treatment for quote unquote situational depression, which can be triggered by a traumatic event. And so, yeah, it is a really courageous move and a very rare move for public officials to come out and acknowledge their struggles with mental health issues. Before him, if you recall, the U.S. Senator from Pennsylvania, John Fetterman, acknowledged publicly in February that he actually underwent treatment for depression. And so one of Bernstein's reasons for coming out and talk about his issue openly is to encourage other people with similar mental health struggles to reach out to get the help that they need.
Stella Yu is a reporter for Bridge Michigan. Stella, it is always such a pleasure to have you and your expertise here on Mishmash.
The pleasure is mine. Thanks.
Mishmash is produced by WDET, Detroit's NPR station. This episode was produced by myself, Shayna Roth, and Hearns Laguerre Jr. Our news director is Jerome Vaughn, and our podcast manager is David Lyons. Our digital team is Dave Kim and Sophia Joswiak, with additional help from Jack Philbrand. As always, if you listen to this podcast and you want to support it, you can do so by leaving us a review, or if you really, really like this podcast, and we truly, deeply hope that you do, you can support WDET. Just go to WDET.org/give. Without your support, honestly, this show and many of the other great programs from WDET just would not be possible. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you next week.